Welcome back, Cardinals fans, to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about Albert Pujols' 700th home run. Some postseason news and a lot of other stuff.
One of only four players now to have done that. Unless you don't really want to count Barry Bonds because of the whole, I use steroids thing, you know. You could say like one of three if you really want to nix him per se. But holy cow, I am not going to lie. I was kind of worried that he wasn't even going to have 700 at this point. I was talking to people, and I was worried that he was going to be a few shy going into this six-game series sort of with Pittsburgh. And I was like, I don't know. But then he hits two in the same game, 699 and 700. 699, by the way, absolutely barreled that up, absolutely crushed it. Wasn't really expecting a second one to happen. And I'm sitting on my bed, just, you know, having a good time, already excited that he hit 699. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. And then, boom, he hits another one. And I'm going like, I called you. I called another one of my friends. Yeah. I called a friend just to be able, I'm like, this is freaking crazy. He hit two. And now he's at 700. He could potentially get 701. He might not, you know, he might not stay stagnant. You know, he's got six more games against Pittsburgh to potentially, you know, he's not going to beat Hank Aaron. He's not going to get 14 more in six games. But absolutely, absolutely fantastic and so good for him. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. You know, going into the season, I didn't really give him much of a shot because he was 21 home runs. I was like, no way, this guy, he's not going to get a lot of plate appearances. How in the world is he going to get to 700, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're just seeing all this power, and, like, I don't know the last time he hit 20 home runs in a season. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird, because it brings back, they always were talking about him turning back the clock. It really looks like he's bringing back that kind of energy, and it's weird because he has the energy now too. I didn't really see him a lot when he was playing with the Angels per se, but like he was struggling obviously constantly with the Angels, but now he's back with St. Louis. He just is having a good time. He's having fun to the point where, like, he's not even worried about the ball, you know? Like, the fan took the ball and has the ball for 700, and he's like, that doesn't matter. That's just, souvenirs are for the fan. That's, you know, that's for him. Whatever, fine. And then he said when we clinched the other day, he's having such a good time, but we clinch, and even he's giving the pep talk, being like, we cannot slow up. We got to keep going. Like, he's got the championship energy. That, like, it's so on fire right now. He wants it so bad, and I love that. Because, I'm just having, like, you know, you see YouTube videos of him hitting that go-ahead three-run home run against Houston, you know? And that one, what was it? Was that a wild card game? I don't remember. But, like, you know, iconic, like, and he could do that again. He can do that again. And he showed, obviously, by hitting 21 home runs to get to the historic 700 home run club record and mark, that going into this postseason, he can have another one of those iconic moments. I'm thinking of, like, we're down by two. He's the go-ahead run. You know, it could be a home game. It could be whatever. And he does it again. I mean, I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Yeah. Actually, my aunt sent me, today I just got it, the paper.
Look at that.
From that day with his majestic, it's like a full body.
That is one of the best newspapers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. This is probably going to get framed.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Kind of have to.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Ben Hoffman in that? Is our friend Ben Hoffman in that article, potentially?
I don't know, man. Another thing I want to talk about regarding its 700th, like, were you upset that the fan decided to keep the ball, or do you think it was fair game?
So, I initially was kind of like, oh, that's kind of, I initially, and I still think this, I think it's a little bit selfish that he didn't even offer to give back the ball. Like, it would have been different if he offered to give back the ball, but Pujols said, nah, you keep it, you're fine. But the fact that he, like, got it and kind of, like, ran away like he was stealing, that kind of was like, eh. But at the same time, you know, like Pujols said, it is just a ball. It is a souvenir. You know, home runs, if you catch it, the fans don't have to give it back to you, you know. But the fact that he didn't even offer just kind of felt a little off to me. Like with Aaron Judge, when he hit 660, the fan offered it back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just.
And I think he just hit his 61st to tie Roger Maris. And I think it was caught by one of the. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the Blue Jays bullpen coaches.
Yeah, because it went right over, like right by the railing where the fans were, but no fan was able to catch it, so it went into the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So did the coach give it back to him, or?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think he signed it or something, and his mother was there, I believe, as well, and it was a thing.
Okay.
I don't necessarily have the biggest problem with him keeping the ball. I just think the fact that he felt the need to run away instead of just offering it back is kind of sucky. Because, like, you know, if it's a 700 home run ball, obviously it's very historic and it's Albert Pujols. If you offer it back, he's going to give you something just as cool in return, you know?
Yeah.
Like, signed baseball bet, you know, all that other stuff. I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
I think
the guy that caught it, though, was a Dodgers fan.
Yeah, but I think it was a Dodgers fan. There was a lot more Dodgers fans, obviously, at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Which they, by the way, have a franchise record.
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Which home run is more historic? Pujols' 700 or Judge's 61st?
So let's, you know, pros and cons. 61 home runs in one season. That's crazy. But the fact that 700 has only been hit 4 times in a career, and technically only, I guess, 3 if you want to, you know, the whole Barry Bonds steroid effect, whatever. I feel like that is much greater of an achievement is the 700 home run. I think the 61 home runs obviously is insane, really good for him. But the fact that only 3 other people other than Albert Pujols have done that in the history of baseball is insane, because that's not just one really, really, really good season like Aaron Judge is having with his 61 home runs. It's good, consistent seasons for a long period of time to be able to get to that number, which is absolutely crazy. You got to have the longevity. You got to stay healthy, and you still got to be able to hit. So I would say 700 is way more historic than the 61. However, 61 is still crazy good.
Yeah. Like, to get 700 home runs, you have to hit over 22 seasons. You have to hit average like 32 home runs, which is just insane. Like, to have that longevity, like, no one goes 22 seasons anymore. And to hit 30 home runs every season is almost impossible. I mean, people obviously are saying that,
you know,
obviously, yeah, only four people have done it. And a lot of people are saying, will it ever happen again? And I mean,
not in my lifetime.
It might not. I mean, it's a really high number. I mean, I bet you we'll see 500, maybe 600, but 700 is astronomically high.
It's great. You know, the last person to really do it, you know, was Barry Bonds. Obviously, you know, Barry Bonds effect. But, like, think about when Hank Aaron did it. You know, Hank Aaron did it, and everybody was, you know, nobody thought it was going to happen again. And then now it's happened, you know, and now it happened again, a perfect 700 right now. I don't think in my lifetime there's going to be somebody who's just as elite for that long. They might be, you know, we might have another guy come up like Albert who becomes, you know, the most feared hitter in baseball because he just becomes that good. But to be able to do it that well for that long, I don't think is applicable anymore in today's baseball because people don't go for that many seasons. You know, look at like Ichiro Suzuki. He didn't need to retire. It wasn't like he was forced to, but he chose to. You know, it's also that instance, whether they choose to continue or not. And with the amount of money that they're making after 10 seasons in the big leagues, you might decide that you're done because you don't need to continue unless you are chasing something like that.
Yeah. And also on the other side, like teams don't want to like hold on to like 35-year-olds when they can just get a more athletic, cheaper option out of their minor league system, you know?
Yep.
And then they can develop them and then get rid of them after 5-6 years. I mean, it's just cheaper. It's just business for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And keeping a guy playing that's like 40 years old is just, it doesn't really happen that often.
It's crazy. And we have three of them.
Yeah.
And they're all still competing. You know, Wainwright, as of late, not so much, but I still, you know, he's going to be in the postseason roster. He's going to be fine. I think the days of rest, not having him do it a little bit, is going to be really good for him. You know, Yadi's Yadi. He's a different animal, man. You know, yeah. he'll get smacked in the face, and he'll be like, let's ring go. Come on, I'm ready. And then brings up a question that just kind of popped in my brain. Do you think, because I think that if we get to the World Series, which I really think we have a very, very good chance at getting into, I feel like even though Waino hasn't said that this is his last year, I feel like he'll go out with Pujols and Yadi just for the sake of that camaraderie that they had, and we had such a historic good season.
Yeah, I think it is probably his last year, and he's just not wanting to overshadow his friends.
Yeah.
Because, like, some of the videos I've seen from the Cardinals are, like, commemorating his career, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would do that if he really was going to come back another year.
Exactly. I mean, he almost didn't even come back this year, you know?
Yeah. So Waino, he hasn't been pitching amazing. I don't think he's going to start in the wild card series. So actually, let's go through who do we think is going to be the pitchers for the three wild card games?
I think the first, if you know, because it's three game series, so you have to do two. I think my top two, I think the very first game, because you want to be able to get that good momentum and win that first game, I'd put Jordan Montgomery out on the bump.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for the second game, I'd put Miles Michaelis for the sake of the track record that they've had so far, I trust. I trust a little more. You know, Quintana's good. But I trust Jordan Montgomery and Miles Michaelis a little bit more than the other guys we got. Waino right now obviously has been a little bit rocky. I feel like that's too much throwing the dice. If we have to play a third one, I would actually pick Waino. Because really? As of right now, I don't trust Jack Flaherty in a three-game series. Maybe okay. In the divisional series, if we get to that point, I would put Flaherty in a game.
So you would pitch Waino over Quintana?
I think so. I feel really? like only if a third game was necessary. I'm just going with the a little bit more of the feels kind of a thing, and I feel like he would clutch up well enough because he's been in that position. You know, he's closed out a World Series. He's started in World Series games. I feel like he'd be able to handle the pressure. Like, he did well in the wild card game against the Dodgers last season.
Yeah. Just,
you know, didn't go in our favor. So I do think that he, given that experience, will take it well, and I think he'll have a good third game if we have to get to that point, which I don't want to play a third game in the wild card. I just want to be two games done with it, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, for my wild card, I would go Quintana.
Okay.
As game one, and then I would go Michaelis game two, and I think I would go Montgomery game three.
Okay.
Waino's just, he's not had it, and it's not just been like the last two starts, it's been like the last five, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. You definitely keep him on the roster.
For sure.
But I would say you won't pitch him until the
divisional season.
Next round. Yeah.
Conference. Yeah, no, it's division.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of divisions, we clinched. St. Louis Cardinals clinched our division. We are good in the neighborhood with that. But the Brewers are still hot on the postseason tail. They are only half a game back of our current matchup if this season were to end today with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
So who would you rather play? Would you rather play Philadelphia, or would you rather see, you know, Milwaukee bump Philadelphia out, kind of give a little bit of an upset in that aspect?
You know, one of my friends is a Brewers fan, and you know, every time I see him, I just remind him of how much the Brewers are bad, and so I really don't want to see. I think it would be funny if the Brewers didn't make the playoffs, but I think it's the best matchup for us. I think they're the worst team in the playoff hunt.
Okay. Really, you think they're worse than Cleveland?
Well, in the NL.
Okay.
Yeah. And
sorry, Cleveland.
And for that, that's why I think the Talking Baseball Pod said this too. The NL is much deeper than the AL. Like they, like.
Yeah. What is
like
the
Guardians are worse than any.
Baltimore is not even in the AL playoffs, yet they have a better record than the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the NL is stacked. You have the Dodgers, who set a franchise record of wins with like 107. You have the New York Mets, who are competing, you know, only one game out going into the three-game series with Atlanta. You know, and both of those teams are, you know, competing for their divisions, but also making the postseason anyway. Those two teams are really tough to play. And then we're either going to have to play Philly or Milwaukee, and then San Diego is in the postseason. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really worried about any potential World Series matchup that the Cardinals will have to face.
Really?
I feel like as my surprise American League team is Seattle. I don't want to see Houston.
No.
I just don't want to see them again. Not for the sake of that I'm scared. I just don't want to see them. But I'm not even scared if it has to be a New York Yankees, St. Louis Cardinals World Series. I'm not scared of the Yankees. You know, we beat them at home. So I'm not worried about any of the American League teams. I kind of hope we don't have to play the Dodgers to get to the World Series. I kind of hope the Dodgers get knocked out in the divisional series. But we'll see. We'll see.
So the wild card games are in like a week, right?
Yeah. I think they start next weekend or something like that.
The 7th, 8th, 9th of October?
Mm-hmm.
You got plans to go to those games?
No. At the moment, I do not. I don't necessarily, on a college budget, have the money to spend for the expensive tickets to go to those games. However, I do have plans for watch parties, though. I can afford that. I can afford the TV. So I do intend on watching it with some friends and having a party and having a good time, because it's going to be good, good, good. The history is there and the talent is there for the Cardinals to go all the way.
Mm-hmm. One thing, like, after the Cardinals clinched, someone gave Lars Nootbaar a microphone and someone started videotaping him, and what resulted, I mean, it's just incredible. You need to go watch it for yourself.
It is one of the best videos I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, even if you're not a big baseball guy.
Oh, he's just so, oh, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He is, oh gosh, he's such a guy. I love Nootbaar. And I'm not going to, I have this weird feeling that he is going to come up so clutch. I feel like he's going to be our clutch guy in the lineup for the postseason. You know, like Lance Berkman was kind of the 2011 World Series winning clutch hitter. I kind of feel like it's going to be either, I feel like it's going to be the either Nootbaar or Brendan. I think Brendan Donovan is just going to kind of continue what he's been doing, getting on base with walks, working counts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Nootbaar might be the guy where it's like, this is like maybe the only shot we get to try and tie this game with a guy in scoring position, that he's going to get like a squeaky little base hit to tie the game or something. I feel like he might be the clutch guy. We'll see though.
Yeah. We got a really good Mets Braves series coming up.
Yeah.
That I think if you're into baseball, that's the stuff to watch right now.
That is must watch TV right there. Who is going to get that bye? Oh,
yeah. I think some of the Cardinals games are going to be fairly interesting, but since they've already clinched, I'm not sure they're going to produce the most
exciting
competitive lineups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might play a little more Alec Burleson.
Bendaluzio.
We don't want to slow down. We still want to keep our pedal to the metal and keep winning games to keep that rhythm going into the postseason, but we might give those younger guys a little bit more of a chance. You know?
Yeah. It's definitely a balance. Yeah. Because you don't want to work these guys so hard they got nothing left in the playoffs, but you want them to be ready.
Tyler O'Neill, I know, is a question mark for the postseason roster. You know,
as Hicks.
Hicks is also. Do you think Paul DeJong is in the postseason roster? I wouldn't.
I mean, so up the middle, you got Edmund, Donovan. I'm thinking you got to have one more guy up the middle, right?
Yeah, so, I think I would do Gorman rather than Paul DeJong, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
I might do DeJong.
You might do DeJong?
Because he's just much better defender. But yeah, it is kind of a wasted spot if you can't even hit.
Yeah. We'll see, though. But, you know, shortstops who can hit, you know, in a little bit of a minor leagues in AAA, a minor league prospect that we have, Delvin Perez, he's a shortstop prospect. He thought he hit a home run. You know, he bat flipped. He was trotting around the bases, but the wind just pushed the ball. It was a warning track shot, just easy fly out for the outfielder. And Delvin did not even realize until he was like 15 feet away from home plate. And then he was like, what? But, you know, he had a good attitude about it. I thought it was cool. But we might honestly see him potentially soon, maybe next year, closer to the end of the season, especially if, you know, I don't think Paul DeJong should come back for another season for the majors, for the Cardinals anyway. You know, he could go to a different team. But we'll see. I saw Delvin here in Double-A Springfield for a little bit. He was doing fantastic, and now he's in Triple-A. Maybe he'll be there for another year or two. But I think potentially with how our up-the-middle situation is going, he may or may not, closer to the end of the season next year, see a few major league at-bats, depending on how well he does.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to play in the Arizona Fall League?
I think he is. I think he is.
He is?
I know Jordan Walker is, like, for sure.
What about Mason?
I think Mason is as well. I would have to look up a little bit more of who's playing in there. But another minor league Cardinals player is the home run king of minor league baseball. You know, Moises Gomez, 39 home runs in the minor leagues. That's kind of crazy in itself. In Double A. So good for him. Good on him. Cardinals, even the minor league systems are doing some good things this year.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see Jordan and Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been really hyped. But yeah,
Jordan's now playing outfield, too.
Yeah.
He's been working on that a little bit.
The one prospect that's been, like, kind of falling off the face of the earth is Matthew Liberatore. I mean, he was supposed to be the ace. He was supposed to be the guy of the future, and I haven't heard a word about him in months.
I also have not really heard about him. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I got him a little bit confused with Jake Woodford.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wait, what? Because, I don't know, they kind of looked the same or something. But, yeah, Matthew came up for a little bit, got sent back down, and I haven't heard a single thing. I haven't heard any, like, bad news, but I haven't heard anything saying, like, oh, yeah, he's the starter and the stud that the Cardinals wanted him to be. So, I don't know. I really don't know. But we did well in the trade deadline, pitching-wise. So,
yeah,
I think we're okay.
Yeah, Mozeliak actually did a really nice job with getting Q and Montgomery.
Yep.
I think the Sosa move was like kind of an eh.
Yeah, it was kind of eh. I mean, I don't really think that we were using Sosa to the best of our ability. I think he's definitely a good fit in Philly, a better defensive player than, you know, batter. But, Jojo Romero's, you know, it was, that was definitely more of an eh move, but I don't think it was necessary. It didn't kill us or anything. Because all we, you know, Edmundo Sosa just went to a team where he's going to be able to play a little bit more than here, since we have Donovan and Edmund and Gorman at the time was playing as well, so.
Yeah. Just to kind of wrap it up, some news about Yadi. He's going to manage the Puerto Rican team at the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, I got really excited when I saw that.
Player manager or just manager? Do you know anything?
I think he's just going to be a manager. I originally, when they announced, you know, I got really happy when the World Baseball Classic was coming back. But I also got a little worried because, you know, Puerto Rico being
being Puerto Rican himself, Yadi was the Puerto Rican catcher. You know, he's one of the best catchers of all time from Puerto Rico, so he, you know, naturally would have been the choice. But since it's a 2023 World Baseball Classic, I don't know the exact rules if you need to be on an active MLB team to be able to, like, play as a player. Because, like, I was wondering, like, if he since he retires after this season, he would still be, like, eligible to be a player next for like, the 2023 World Baseball Classic, right? So I didn't really know exactly how that would work. But I think he's just going to be a manager. And it'll be kind of nice because we get to see him one more time as in a managerial position, which he's going to be doing for the Venezuelan team during the regular season. And I'm very, very, not only obviously being Puerto Rican, do I think and want the Puerto Rican team to do well. I am very intrigued as like a Cardinals fan as well, just to see how Yadi does as a manager, who he puts in, who he doesn't, what he does timing wise, how mad he'll get at the umpire, you know, because now as a manager, he doesn't need to worry all that much about getting ejected. You know, when he's the player and he's the catcher, he's got to play. But as a manager, he might have a few more extra words, you know? So we'll see. I think it'll be fun for everybody involved. I think it'll be a really good time.
Yeah. Do you think he'll eventually get to maybe the major leagues as a manager?
I could definitely see him being in the major leagues again as either a manager, which I totally see, or even as just, you know, a really, really good catching coach for, you know, anybody. I can see Waino being a really good manager potentially. I don't think he's going to, but I think he could. You know, like now we have Skip Schumacher, who's a co-manager, you know, with Ali Marmol.
He's the bench coach. Assistant.
Yeah, bench coach. So that was cool to see. But I definitely think that Yadi will come back to the majors in some capacity, maybe as a manager or as a coach. And, you know, speaking of managers, something that popped in my brain, the Mariners have collectively agreed. They didn't, like, fire, what's his name? Don Mattingly.
Scott.
Right? No.
You talking about the Marlins?
Yeah, Miami. It's not Don Mattingly.
Yeah, it is.
It is Don Mattingly?
You said Mariners.
No, yeah. Miami Marlins. Different M name. Golly. Totally different sides of the country, too, by the way. That's just absolutely... Anyway, Don Mattingly and the Mariners have collectively agreed that he's not going to be there anymore. And, you know, since now they're in the market for a manager, the first person that came into my brain, Mike Schoelt. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to pursue him potentially, because I honestly can see Mike Schoelt doing well in Miami, potentially. I think the only friction I could see potentially is with Jazz Chisholm being Jazz Chisholm. But,
yeah,
I don't know. I would like to see Mike Schoelt come back in some greater major league capacity.
Well, what I would compare Mike Schoelt under the Marlins to would be another former Cardinals manager, Tony La Russa, like an older-minded guy going to a young team. And I just I don't think that they mesh. You know, it just doesn't work that well. So I don't think they would hire Schoelt.
Are not in postseason, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would hire Schoelt because he is not like the most up to date, analytically minded guy.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what baseball's all about right now. So
pretty much, do you think Tony La Russa's done after this season? Or do you think
Yeah. I think he's done.
Because the White Sox, they have such good talent. But I think, I don't know, some of the decisions he's made has been a little... But I do think the White Sox could, you know... But that, I'm not going to lie, That American League Central is such a sad division. Cleveland Guardians clinch, but they have the White Sox and like the those are kind of like the team and like the Twins. Those are kind of like the three teams that are sort of good, but don't even have a good enough record to beat the fourth or the third place team in the American League East in Baltimore. And then you have Detroit, which is just, you know, not great, and Kansas City, which has been not great after they won the World Series. They won the World Series, and they're like, we're getting rid of everybody. And they've been terrible. But, man, you know, people complain about the NL Central being an easy division, which, you know, granted, it can be at times. But that American League Central division, woof. Like, I kind of feel bad. But it's okay.
Yeah, so we got a few games left against the Pirates.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
And that about wraps up the season.
Crazy. Just freaking crazy. Because it's a six-game series. I'm calling it a six-game series. I know that we play half of it in Pittsburgh, half of it home, but it's back-to-back. Like, it's a six-game series.
Yeah.
I'm calling it like that. But only three more regular season postseason games. You know, being that we have the record that we are and we win the division, we play all of the wild. That's something good for the wild card. All of the wild card games are at Busch Stadium. Home field advantage. So nice, yeah. Especially if we're talking about Albert Pujols doing something cool in the postseason. Home field advantage is going to be, seeing Busch Stadium just absolutely, because, you know, we get packed anyway, no matter what, for postseason baseball and just regular season baseball in general. But the fact that we have the history with Albert, Waino, and Yadi doing what they're doing, it is going to be a sold-out crowd every single time. It is going to be absolutely electric, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's just a special team this year, and I think they really need to capitalize on it, put a little exclamation mark on a
very much the, party. And the thing is that we definitely can. Definitely
yeah.
can. It's not like just a, it would be a nice fairy tale thing. Like, would it be? Obviously, it is a fairy tale story, but it is a very tangible fairy tale story. This is going to be probably the most fun I will ever have in a postseason. It's going to be, it's going to be good.
All right. I think that's good.
Yeah, I guess we'll reconvene again. Probably when the season is over, talk a little, you know, give a little bit of a preview for the wild card,
the postseason.
Postseason roster, see what's happening. And then after that, you know, in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about the Cardinals going, I'm not going to finish that sentence. It's going to be a fun time.
All right.
See you next week.
Yeah.